Hey guys, this is Eric Young, and you're listening to Booking the Territory.
Hey, this is Ring of Honor Superstar Donovan Dijak, and you're listening to Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast.
This is the one-man gang. You're listening to Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast.
This is Booking the Territory, a pro wrestling podcast hosted by Mike Mills, Hard Body Harper from Wildcat Sports and Entertainment, and the mentally irregular Doc Turner. This podcast is a mix of your topics and thoughts in the world of pro wrestling, along with interviews and discussions with current independent stars and your favorite stars from the past. And now, here's your host, Mike Mills.
Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast. We are the pro wrestling podcast where pro wrestling's past meets pro wrestling's present. This week, we are covering WCW Saturday Night from November the 16th of 1985. We got the shout-outs as usual, and I've got a, I guess you can call it a Jim Cornette promo of the week, although it's not really a promo as much as it's a conversation Jim Cornette had on one of his shoot interviews about Northern wrestling versus Southern wrestling. So, with all that said, thanks for tuning in, as usual, each and every week. Doc, how you doing, though, man?
Did you get a bunch of work done today?
Man, I got a shit ton of fucking work done. Praise God. Jesus Christ, you aggravate the hell out of me at work.
Why?
He don't have nothing to do.
I'm on vacation, so I've been drinking since about 11:15 this morning. What time is it? It's about, 7:15? We're recording this. This ought to be fun.
Yeah. Okay. When you get a chance, get your goddamn internet fixed, Mr. Fucking whole fucking show. Harper, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm on vacation, man.
Shut up. I'm asking Harper how he's doing.
Doing all right, bro. Sitting here about to do some badass podcasting because we're the shit.
That's right. You got a big week coming up, don't you?
That's right. Next Saturday. You going to be there? No. Not
next Saturday. This coming Saturday. All right. So just for everybody to know, we're recording on a day that's not typical of us. We're recording on Monday, March the 13th, 2017. It's because Harper's going to be busy with Wildcat this week. Doc is on vacation with his family. I mean, he needs to get his priorities together and realize we need to do this on a normal night. But you know what? I'm not going to say anything else about that. It is what it is. So we're recording this on a couple of days earlier. That doesn't mean I'm going to drop the show earlier. It'll probably still be out on the same day. But Harper, we got March 18th, Wildcat Sports, Meisler Middle School, Metairie, Louisiana. Scott Hall going to be there. Stevie Richards going to be there. Anybody else we need to know about?
That's it.
Your
standard Wildcat crew.
Standard Wildcat guys, my personal favorite, Danny Flamingo. He's the man. And Hardbody Harper is also a favorite of mine, too. He does this thing very, very well at Wildcat Sports. So, check him out if you're in the area. March 18th, Meisler Middle School, Metairie, Louisiana, 7 p.m. bell time. Look, what's the old saying, Harper? We'll sell you the whole seat, but you only need the what?
The edge of it.
There you go.
You got to say it right, the edge of it.
Okay, man.
Like those commercials, man. Who said Rock is dead live? You in Old Lakefront Arena, Alice Cooper.
I hated that. Oh, that's so
with special guest Cinderella.
Jeez, okay.
He doesn't know who Cinderella is.
Yeah, you're talking to the wrong hombre here. Well, hey, I mentioned we're talking WCW Saturday Night from November the 16th of 1985. We're also talking the top five iconic gimmicks that talent used. So, Harper, this is a short week, so I did not – when I texted this to Doc Sunday, I should have mentioned it to you yesterday. I completely forgot, but you'll be able to fill in the blanks.
You should have retexted it to me too, pal.
You forgot?
He was drunk.
Maybe.
Stupid son of a bitch.
Just put flare.
I'm typing it in. Nature Boy 1-5. Okay, I'm ready.
This is not a flare. This is not one you can use for flare, in
Why
my
not?
Opinion. So, you just can't. You can't. We do have – look, since
no,
it's a
I'm
short
just,
week.
I'm just joshing with you, dude. I got that.
Since it's a short week, I didn't have as many emails that I actually got to, nor did I have – I guess I still got a bunch of shout-outs, but definitely not as many emails that I could get not uploaded, but in the notes for the show. So I just want to remind everyone, if you're going to shows, SmackDown, Raw, Impact, Ring of Honor, you know the drill. Hey, let's see some BTT signs there. We definitely would appreciate it. Booking the Territory podcast signs would – it would be helpful. Now, I got a question. And
Hold on. Can we get an RIP in for somebody who died?
Go ahead.
RIP Dennis Stamp.
See, I've been at work all day. Dennis Stamp passed away. I didn't realize that.
Dennis Stamp died of cancer today.
I knew he was sick, but I didn't realize he had passed.
He went ahead and hit it.
All right, RIP Dennis Stamp. I'm sorry.
Would you like to tell the people who Dennis Stamp is for those out there who might not know?
Wasn't he the guy in Beyond the Mat?
He was the exterminator in Beyond the Mat that was trying to get booked at the Terry Funk.
The guy that was jumping around on the trampoline,
lifting weights on the trampoline. Yeah,
Jesus,
that's him.
Christ, yeah. He's like, I'm just trying to stay in shape. You never know when they're going to call, and he's jumping on a trampoline. It's like, okay, bro, keep it up, man.
Well, he died today.
Yeah.
Jesus. It's RIP Dennis Stamp. Harper's favorite line, Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
Okay. I do have a question. I don't know what – I did pull this one question from the inbox. It said – question from Tracy for Hardbody Harper. Hardbody Harper, if you didn't know that was a woman, how many times have you been surprised down in NOLA, and do you go with it like you said if the lights are out? I don't know what this question is from, so I figured I'd ask you, Doc, and maybe Harper remembers whatever Tracy's referring to. I have no clue.
Say it again.
What?
It says, Hardbody Harper, if you didn't know that was a woman, how many times have you been surprised down in NOLA, and do you go with it like you said if the lights are out?
Oh, was that last week? That was last week when Harper didn't know that Jimmy Boogie Woogie Man had him.
That's what that was from. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't remember. All right.
So have you ever gotten a sausage surprise when you get to the intimate moments?
Nah, bro. You just keep going, man. Fuck it. Go to finish, man. Just go to finish. Fuck it.
No time for a rest hold.
No. Just go. Go.
We already called it. We already called the spots in the back. Let's just go with it. Hit. Go to get to the finish, right?
Go. Right. That's, time to go home. Come on.
That's real nice, Harper. Let's get into the Twitter and Facebook shout-outs. Not as many shout-outs, although I think I got a bunch. I'm going to ask a request from the listeners. Please try to use hashtag BTTArmy from now on whenever you are tweeting us, because it's so much easier for me to pull the tweets from that way other than in the mentions, because the mentions, they just tend to get lost. And it's not that I want to forget about you. It's just that they get lost, unfortunately, from time to time. So, all right. With that said, @blind_buddy, that's Chris. He says, Doc Turner is the best heel in the business. He also said, I can't wait for Miss Mills to cut a promo on the show. I have been trying to get her to cut this promo on the show. I keep telling her I'm going to conference her in since she's in the house while I'm recording. She's obviously in another room from me, but she doesn't want to go with it. She's like timid now. It's like when the fucking red light goes on, she can't hit the fucking, you know, she can't cut the promo. She can do that shit, you know, and I really believe that all broads are like that. Them motherfuckers can cut a promo. They can cut a promo on their husband like no tomorrow. But boy, oh boy, when the red light comes on and if they're on camera, that shit shuts it down.
Well, if you're going to classify all broads don't understand the difference, need a dictionary so they can understand the difference between the words want and need.
Well, that's a whole nother topic for a whole nother day.
Yeah, for real, huh?
Yeah, these broads nowadays.
I want a full head of hair, you know? Fuck.
Yeah, that ain't going to happen, right?
Exactly.
At Big Bad Vader 56 says, top five podcasts this week are the Smoky Mountain Pod, BTT Flagship Show, the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing, shout out to Mike Crockett and the Kingpin Brian Malonis, and Tony Schiavone Show and Austin Idol Live. Those are his top five picks from this week. Thank you, Big Bad Vader. Don on Facebook, we appreciate it. At NF Nelson 78 says, I'm beginning to think David Crockett is more orgasmic than Larry Nelson. Doc, you got any thoughts on that?
I'm beginning to think David Crockett needs the mute button.
So, hey, let me play the very opening of this week's Saturday Night Show. It starts off with Ivan Koloff in the ring against Jimmy, God, what's his, I know his name in Smoky Mountain, but his name's slipping me. Yeah. So listen to this real quick because it's hilarious. Just listen to David Crockett at the very end of this.
He picks him up. Heavy fist. Him in the ropes. Here he comes across. Blackman jumps over. Oh! Oh!
Did you hear him? Oh! Oh! Like, dude, right there, did you right just there. Bust a nut?
Wow.
What? What are you wowing?
It's the fact that it's just terrible.
And that's it. That was a mild one, too. He's like, oh! Oh!
Oh, yeah.
Hold on. Here it is.
Backs him in the ropes. Here he comes across. Blackman jumps over. Oh! Oh!
Oh! Oh! Jesus Christ. At NF Nelson 78, I think all three of us, can we all agree with that one, Doc? Yeah. Harper? Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, I might want to party with. Well, I don't know. I bet David Crockett could throw down a party, too. I don't know, man. Him and Larry Nelson both seem like they'd be fun dudes as long as you don't have to listen to them call wrestling.
Yeah, I think that's the inspiration behind NF Nelson 78's tweet because I know he's a 605 listener, too. I want to say he started listening to us after I was on the 605 Super Podcast, and I think that he's familiar with orgasmic Larry Nelson. I don't know. Brian and I haven't talked about it. What's that?
He got banned.
I didn't. Anyway, so at Hoss423 says, I heard the top five this week. For me, the original Horsemen were the best. But then he went on to say, but that Vicious group had mega potential. I don't know if Chris is being sarcastic or if he really feels that way. But Chris is an old school guy. He's an old NWA guy. So not sure if that was sarcasm or truth. So, Chris, you can clarify.
What were they going to do with Sid Vicious? Go play softball? Shit.
I don't know, like, you know, but I kind of think what you said too, Doc, about, you know how you said that Lex being in there, that was the perfect spot for him?
Oh, yeah.
I almost want to say that I kind of, if Chris is being truthful, if he's not being sarcastic there, I can see how Sid would play that same role. It's like, he can hide in the back, he's the big guy, you know what I mean? He doesn't have to be in the spotlight of it, he's got a group that can help carry him. Because Sid Vicious by himself never did it for me.
Nah.
Not you either, Harper?
He never carried. He couldn't carry it on a permanent situation.
Yeah, that's how I felt. I felt the exact same way with Sid. Okay, so we go to the next one. At Martin Howell 71, he says, Wild Bill Irwin, part two was great. Really enjoyed the Mark Henry story and the Goon origins. If you haven't already done so, I just want to tell everyone, go follow him on Twitter. Again, it's at Martin Howell 71. You know, he's the one who provides me with all of the PWI top tens that we've been doing that he's got from his own personal large collection of PWIs, The Wrestler, all those old aftermags. So I appreciate that, Marty. Doc, you had something to say about the interview with me and Wild Bill Irwin, didn't you, when you texted me last week?
I wish that you were a better interviewer because once Bill Irwin finally figured out that you weren't some jabroni, he actually opened up and told some great stories. But I do have to disagree with him, and I call it like it is. No shade on him. Bill Irwin was a stellar performer that I in my formative years. But if he thinks the Goon was just ready to draw money, I'm going to have to disagree.
Damn. No, bruh. No.
I don't know if I agreed with him saying the Goon would have drawn money, but I do agree with him when he said that the people that they brought in during that time period, which Tony Anthony was one of them, as TL Hopper, I do agree with Wild Bill. Crazy. I know. I do agree with Wild Bill when he says they just didn't know what to do with them. It's like they brought them all in and had no plan.
Oh, yeah. I agree with. Absolutely 100%. And I also agree and 100% believe that he deserved better on his way in, too.
Well, you heard how the gimmick came to be. He's sitting there on the phone with Bruce Pritchard and about coming in, and it's just hitting him off the top of his head. He's like, well, what if I become a hockey player? And what if I use hockey skates? But I know I can't use real hockey skates, so I'll have the boots, and I'll wedge the soles, and it'll look kind of like a skate, and I'll wear hockey gear.
While we're here, did you listen to the Bruce Pritchard show this week?
No.
No.
Jesus Christ. They got a new sponsor. It's fucking Miller Lite. And these two fucking hillbillies sit there and pop. First of all, Conrad must be listening to our show because I was popping tops about 6 weeks ago, and now all of a sudden they're doing it. But every 5 minutes it was Miller Lite this, Miller Lite that, and they keep popping cans of it was probably fucking Diet Fanta, not real beer, because those two guys. But whatever, just let it go, man. I just want all the people here to realize that outside of about 10 minutes of Menace hitting you over the head with all the patron bullshit, you get us for fucking free, unadulterated, sweet, just unprotected sex. You know what I'm saying?
Podcast beer.
You could drink beer all day long. Okay, I'm going to keep it moving. At Hastings Chris, he says, great promo on us Brits by the good doctor. Doc, remember you took a shit on the British listeners last week for not knowing about WCW Saturday Night, and you started cutting the promo on.
I said I was glad that we pulled away from them.
Oh, Jesus. With their access.
Aren't you glad that we are our own nation now to be driven into the ground by the orange twat waffle?
Oh, fuck. Come on, man. Just, can we stay out of politics?
Bro, just picture it. If they would have won, we'll all be speaking English right now.
Instead of American.
Yeah. You like that?
That was a good one, Hoffer. I like that. At Robert Silva 5768, he says, Doc is your version of Kenny Bolin. Doc. You're Kenny Bolin, dude.
Well, I kind of take that as a compliment, but I have to defer because, well, first of all, Kenny Bolin is a carny's carny, and I'm just better than ever.
Okay, whatever you say. You need to get your goddamn internet fixed because you are cutting out bad tonight. That's all I'm going to say there. Next one is at WrestlingFan2009. He says, I love the NWA segment. Some of the best wrestling ever. Yes, we agree, man. At G187, he says, a great second part with Wild Bill Irwin. It was great hearing about the Goon, who I really loved when he got to the WWF. I got Martin Howells already. Oh, and last one. Joe Stassi on Facebook. If you haven't already done so, Joe has been a big supporter of the show, so please support his Facebook pages, the Old School Pro Wrestling Lives page, and the ICW, the Outlaws of Professional Wrestling pages, for some great old school content. He's also got a Bruiser Brody page, so go check that out. Doc, you don't like plugs, do you? Whenever I plug stuff?
Do it.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's your problem. I don't really give a shit if you don't like them or not. I just figured I'd mention that since you can be a bit of a twat. So, hey, Jock, you know what I think when you get on my nerves sometimes? You know what I want to tell you?
Catch me outside. How about that? Catch me outside. How about that?
Yeah, he don't like that. He's no selling it. He's a fucking twat. Anyway.
I just want to apologize to everybody out there that comes in here for guy talk and all this that has to listen to the minutes all of a sudden turn and play a drop of a 13-year-old illiterate piece of shit that was on Maury Povich or whatever.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Catch me outside. How about that?
I don't know, bro. Anyway, hey, if you're listening, check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. Also on Twitter, @BTT_podcast. I'm at Mike504Saints. Hardbody Hopper is at CJHUDAT. As you can see, I pull a lot of the shout-outs from Twitter. I also try to pull them from Facebook. I just didn't have time this week since we're recording earlier than normal. So if you post comments on Facebook, we're trying to get the Facebook page a little bit more interactive, and I would appreciate it if you could help us out. And, you know, share on Facebook whenever I post the shows. Retweet on Twitter. It really helps the show grow. Also, related to our Facebook page, when you go to facebook.com/bookingtheterritory, click the Shop Now button, and that will take you to our Pro Wrestling Tees store. All right, y'all. You see, look, that was a quick 30-second plug. Are we ready to get into WCW Saturday Night from November the 16th of 1985, Doc?
Sure.
I'm going to take that as a yes. So, well, Doc, first, before we get into it, you know, like, what did you enjoy this week's episode of the show?
Boy, if you like Dusty Rhodes and the Andersons and Ric Flair and Horsemen, I got to say this is the show for you. They're out there a bunch.
Yeah, you really did get plenty of that on this week's episode. So, yeah, some really good stuff here. So we're going to jump right into things. The show kicks off, and we are immediately a minute and a half into things when we get the Russians. And they are out there cutting a promo after we heard from, I think it was David Crockett and Tony Schiavone. So let's go to that promo right now as we kick off this week's show of WCW Saturday Night from November 16th of 1985.
And with us now, you see them, the Russians.
Yeah, I hear you say, Road Warrior today.
Yep, they're here, the Legion of Doom.
Oh, Road Warrior, finally get the gun to come here and wrestle DC, yeah? This girl, Nikita, go all over the country. Here, this Road Warrior. But I hear about this Agama, Road Warrior. How big he is. How strong. This Nikita respect. But Nikita, little stronger. Little more power in Russian single. Agama, maybe you sometime feel Russian single. I'm gonna have a.
No, my many years of traveling, wrestling throughout the world, my many different opponents, I have never come up against such opposition as the National Wrestling Alliance. And we have the prestigious honor of being World Six-Man Tag Team Champions and World Tag Team Champions. Now, Rock and Roll Express, you are not going to rip this honor away from us. You've got cage match and the World Tag Team belts are on the line. You go to the promoter and you get this Don Canoodle as a diversion at ringside. You think he's going to take our attention away and your speed will get a fall on us. Wrong. This is the most dangerous match there is inside the cage match. No place to go. And you're going to find out whether it's personal reason, political reason, or what. I know you want to prove to all the world that you can take the World Tag Team belts back away from us. But you're going to find out, Rock and Roll. Matter of fact, we went out. We don't believe in Christmas or Thanksgiving, but we know you do. We got the present for you. Get close up of this. And you're going to need this. After cage match is over, Starrcade 85, you're going to find out who is superior.
Maybe these Road Warriors get these rawas too.
All right, it leads into the match where afterwards it's Boogie Woogie Man, Jimmy Valiant, and Tony Zane. But, Doc, I'll throw it to you first. The Russians, and their opening promo of the show, I should say.
Why the fuck did they give Nikita a fucking mic?
I don't know, man. I mean, back then we thought that's Russians talk, though. If you think about it, now it sounds crazy. But back then we were like, "Holy shit, he's really a Russian angry man."
I think Ivan has it down right. I can't understand one fucking word Nikita says.
I don't think Ivan has it down. I just think our perception was that that's how Russians talked back then. Like, I think we thought they were Russians, but in all actuality, even Ivan's voice is better, but it's still not an angry Russian to me. I mean, it was back then. Fuck, I was 10 years old. I didn't know any better, but now I'm like, whatever. I liked the little touch on it. They said that. Nikita, did you see what he was holding up? It said funeral home regulations.
That was pretty funny.
It said what? That little, the videotape, they tell the Road Warriors and the Rock and Roll that they're going to – they basically tell him they're going to kill him. And Ivan was like – I get the videotape Nikita have. And it was a funeral – it said funeral home regulations on the VHS. Yeah, I caught it like – I was like, what does that say? And I had to pause it and look. I was like, oh, okay, whatever. So we then – Harper, do you have anything before I go to the next match?
No, well, I just love how he says we don't believe in Thanksgiving or Christmas.
Yeah, because Sake is going to be on
Christianity in fucking Russia, you know?
Yeah, that's true, too.
Well, what does Thanksgiving have to do with Christianity?
Well, come on, man. We're talking wrestling here.
Thanksgiving's about giving some blankets to some
Indians.
There we go. Smallpox.
Yeah, here goes the smallpox jokes again. We go to the next match, or we go to the first match. It's Boogie Woogie Man, Jimmy Valiant versus Tony Zane. Valiant comes out to the ring, shucking and jiving. Jimmy Valiant gets the win. Doc, you got anything here?
So, Harper, you remember back in the 80s, you ever listened to Judas Priest?
Yeah.
So, you know, like, the singer Rob Halford is gay. But back in the 80s, nobody knew. Everybody was like, well, he's just wearing leather and... nobody really figured it out.
Yeah.
It's like, man, Jimmy Valiant is the one thing to me that's like, okay, wrestling is fake. That was the one guy that you could see through it and go, huh. We should have seen it back then, just watching him. I don't know.
I'm not going to say that, but he definitely was a clown.
Yeah.
That was his gimmick, though.
He's very fucking entertaining.
You could find any biker bar around, and in the corner is some dude that's playing some version of that, not as good as him, but some version of their shtick on running that on the ladies.
I mean, I wasn't a big fan of Boogie Woogie Man Jimmy Valiant. Like, I mean, it's not that I disliked him. It just wasn't somebody that I was like, oh yeah, I'm a big fan of his. Like,
I'm not even saying I dislike him. I'm not even saying I dislike him. It's just Jesus. It's just.
I see what you're saying. Corny for you.
Do what?
Corny.
It is so, in some ways, nonsensical that it's just ridiculous and hard to follow. And some of it, maybe not just what I'm seeing here, but things I've heard on the 605 recently as well that are just like, what the flying fuck is he talking about?
Yeah, you're starting to look at it from an older person's point of view too. I mean, when we were younger, you look at him and it's like, oh, okay, he's entertaining. He's out there. He's slapping hands with the people. I mean, he's a fucking politician if you actually think about it. He's getting the people excited. He's lathering them up as he runs out there. It's just like fucking – it's like politics. There's no difference. Did you see what he did at the very beginning when he's walking out? Oh, mercy, daddy. And then he's walking around the ring, slapping hands. And he's getting in the ring, clapping. Oh, mercy, daddy. I mean, he's a politician. He's doing what politicians do. He's slapping hands and clapping. And that's all it was. It's whatever. He's working, man. Good for him. All right, we go to the next promo. It is Jim Cornette. And if you don't get enough of Corny on our Smoky Mountain show, well, guess what? He's also in WCW at this time. So here it is.
There is a chant amongst the fans here, and what are they saying anyway?
Let me tell you something. I got a lot of important things to say. I don't have time to worry about this wimp, this mama's boy stuff. Let me tell you something. Jimmy Valiant has lost what little sense he never had to begin with. He is taken as his partner against the most violent team in professional wrestling, the Midnight Express, a woman in an Atlanta street fight match where there's no time limit, there's no disqualification, everything, chairs, chains, rocks, bricks, sticks, pots, pans, and tin cans, it's all legal, it all goes. And Valiant, you have got to be crazy because you've been running all around saying that you and this Miss Atlanta Lively and Big Mama in the corner are going to rip all the clothes off the Midnight Express, leave them standing in the ring naked. Well, let me tell you something. That's exactly what we're going to do to you. We're going to take that big, ugly sow you got for your partner, and we're going to rip all her clothes off and find out what she looks like under all that makeup and all those crummy clothes. And we might even take and rip Big Mama's clothes off and expose all her shortcomings. And then they're going to be so ashamed. They're going to be so embarrassed. They're going to be so humiliated, they're going to do what all women do. They're going to turn tail and run. They're going to leave you standing in the ring alone against the Midnight Express. And then we're going to beat your brains out of your head, you stinking punk. I hate your filthy guts. And let me tell you something else, Valiant. Besides that, you are an idiot to take a woman as a partner in the first place, because the Midnight Express can beat any woman's brains out. But I know you. You got something up your sleeve. Well, by Turkey Day, I'm going to find out what it is.
That's Jim Cornette. Let's go to the ring.
Damn. Talk about stuff you can't say nowadays on TV.
Yeah.
They talking about stretching a woman, beating a woman's ass.
You talk about it almost every day, so I don't know what the problem is.
No, I don't. Don't even put that out in the airwaves like that. That's insane, man. Doc, what you think, man?
Harper, did you go do some research and figure out who this was yet, or are you going to let it play out?
I'm going to let it play out.
Okay.
I can't believe you didn't look it up. Doc, what'd you think about the segment, though?
Well, Corny's so young, but he's already got the gift of gab and knows what he's doing. And he's saying things you can't say on TV, like you said. So, boy, I don't know. It's like, I wonder what he and the Midnight Express were thinking in the background. Cause you got the rock and roll paired off with the Koloffs. You got the Andersons paired off with Wahoo and whoever else he's with at coming up. You got the Road Warriors in there, and Midnight Express is looking around going, really? We got to fight Jimmy Valiant and Ron Garvin? I'm sorry. Dressed up as a woman. Sorry, I blew it for everybody there.
Jesus Christ.
That's real classy.
I mean, come on.
Ronnie Garvin wouldn't do something like that. He has hands of stone.
That's right, Hopper. That's right.
So I just wonder, what backstage, if they were like, really? This is what we got to do?
I don't know, man, because, like, when it gets to Starrcade, to me, this was one of the – that crowd was hot, and this shit was good. It was some good stuff in Starrcade. So I'm okay with that. I mean, I'm not as down on this as you are, and just for me. I'm good with it. I just – the most glaring thing here was the fact that, I mean, last week, Valiant is threatening to rip Cornette's clothes off and the Midnight Express's clothes off. Now Cornette is, first off, he's talking about we're gonna beat a woman's ass. Like, literally, we're gonna strip them down to see what they don't have.
Yeah,
their shortcomings. It just was
dick.
So it's just crazy, like, how the stuff you could say. I mean, we talk about it on Smoky Mountain all the time, but it's crazy the stuff you can say now. I mean, well, that you can't say now, that just, you know, that's on TBS, the superstation, man. You know what I mean? And if you listen to Tony Schiavone, like, they talk about the stuff that they couldn't say during the Monday Night Wars. Hell, man, back then, there mustn't have been any type of, as long as you didn't curse on the superstation, you seemed to be fine at that point. So we go to the next match. It's Billy Jack Haynes versus Gerald Finley. Billy Jack Haynes gets the victory. There's one point, and I don't have it queued up. David Crockett goes, look at his arm. They're monstrous. Look at it. Jesus Christ. Next match is Crusher Khrushchev versus Larry Clark. We got Crusher Khrushchev. Just a reminder, Khrushchev will be fighting Sam Houston at Starrcade 85 in a couple of weeks. Khrushchev manhandles Clark the entire match, and Khrushchev obviously gets the win. Like we always say, you're not going to see any upsets. All right, Doc, before I go to the next interview, anything from these last two matches with Billy Jack and Crusher Khrushchev?
No, not really.
Okay. Harper, you anything?
No.
Standard jobber matches on WCW TBS Saturday night, getting people over, building
them up. Take my shit, 1, 2, 3.
Right. And I know you got a lot to say in a little while when we get to the Road Warriors, so... We will skip that. So, all right. So we RIP'd Cowboy Ron Bass last week, and now we've got a Ron Bass interview on this week's episode. So let's listen to what Ron Bass has to say. Now, let me remind you all that 2 weeks ago, correct me if I'm wrong, Doc, Black Bart cut a very nice promo out there with J.J. Dillon talking about Ron Bass, correct?
Yes.
All right. So let's play... Let's play the Cowboy Ron Bass interview here right now.
During the event of Starrcade, you will see the Battle of the Bull Rope. Cowboy Ron Bass against Black Bart. But if you win that bull rope match, you'll get James J. Dillon for 5 minutes, and I'm sure that is on your mind each and every day.
Tony, I'm going to take this slow and easy so everybody can understand, especially one Black Bart, J.J. Dillon. You know, a long time ago, I was having a few problems with some people, and Dusty Rhodes come to me and he says, Ron, I see you've been having all kind of problems. I see that you need to get even with these dudes. And let me tell you how you can get even. And that's a new match that I've come up with. He says, I know you've got the same background that I've got. You've been fighting these cattle. You've been rodeoing. And you know just a little bit about how to use a rope. Now then, what would happen if you take this rope and you tie one end of it with a, you know, you take rawhide and you tie one end of it to your opponent. And this rawhide alone can cut and rip and tear. But then you take a half-inch rope, brother, and you plait it by 3 times, and it's 10 foot long. Now, people, let me tell you something. If you've never had a rope up against your skin, if you've never felt it burn, or if you've never had it, felt it rip or tear, it hurts, people, and it hurts for a long time. Now then, you take a 10-pound bell in the middle of it, and this 10-pound bell, brother, if you look at it, it's been used a little bit, hadn't it, Bart? It's been used just a few times. Well, it's 10 pounds, brother, and it's solid. The edges, brother, will cut you like a knife. And then 10 pounds is like a sledgehammer coming down on that skull of yours. In other words, it can hurt, too. In other words, it can put you down for the count. But the sweet part of it is, brother, that you can get out there, and they ring the bell, and Bass, you can take it to the limit. A 1, 2, 3, and then it's you, Dillon. 5 minutes with you. So look out, Bart. Dillon, the Cowboy's ready.
Harper, man, you like that Cowboy Ron Bass there?
Yeah, he did a real good job of truly describing it and putting it into your head what kind of match this is going to be. And there's a good chance someone's going to be bleeding all over the goddamn place.
Spoiler alert, there's a lot of bloodshed at Starrcade 85. A lot of blood. Doc, what you think, man?
I thought Black Bart outperformed him, but I got a different question. How old do you think Ron Bass is there?
Five. I knew you were going to ask me that, and I didn't look it up on purpose because of that. Let me go with 32.
Ooh, I think he's older, huh?
Didn't you see that ball spot work? That thin spot?
I'm just trying to create some discussion here. So how old is he?
Harper, what do you say?
Oh, fuck. I went low on purpose, asshole.
Late 40s? I mean, late 30s.
He's 36, about to be 37.
Damn, yeah.
32.
That dude looks like he's 45 years old and would be buying beer for teenagers and...
Bro, are you talking about he's got a ball
boat today?
You talking about a ball head? Hell, Harper ain't had hair for fucking 3 years, and that motherfucker's what, 38 now, 39? Harper?
Oh shit, I haven't had hair in like 20 years. I went bald real fucking early.
Just banging all them bitches, dude. That's what did that shit to you.
That's what I tried telling you, but you didn't want to listen.
Nah, I'm good, bro. I'm squared away. Okay, anything else before we go to the next promo where we got Jimmy Valiant now? I'm going to take that as a no. So here is Jimmy Boogie Woogie Man Valiant.
Back on World Championship Wrestling, the excitement builds because here he is, Jimmy the Boogie Woogie Man Valiant.
Rolling in my sweet baby's arm. Rolling in my sweet baby's arm. You know, the Boogie Man's been on double. He's been on double honeymoon for all week long, baby. I've been to Mars, Jupiter, Pluto, and Saturn. I only hung around the Big Dipper about 5 minutes. And I mean with my two mean old ladies, Big Mama and Miss Atlanta Lively. Woo, listen. Now, Big Mama, Mr. Big Shot Cornette, you're going to have your hands full at the gathering. You're going to be busy. You're going to be busier than a one-eyed man at a peep show. And in the ring... it's going to be Miss Atlanta Lively and yours truly, Boogie Woogie Man. It's going to be a Atlanta street fight.
Anything goes. No rules, you understand? Show got that right. Now, I want to tell you something. I know this is the toughest lady that I know. And I know a lot of ladies. She's been running, doing all her work all night long down to Pete Street, Atlanta, GA. You understand? You see the boogeyman street people. I survived the street jack. 8 years old, I was in a club or a gang. I've been a bouncer since I was 18 years old. We gonna see you in Atlanta. And Mr. Big Shot, I'm talking to you, mama's boy. We just might rip your clothes off naked. You might wear a birthday suit out of that arena. I'm gonna kiss you later, Dave.
Good. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.
God damn. Am I the only one who caught Boogie Woogie Man Valiant saying he was on a double honeymoon, and it seemed like code word for he was having an orgy this past week?
Yeah.
I don't. Maybe it was just me. Doc, did you catch it?
I caught a lot of things there. And
I would like to see him on cocaine, man. That'd be great.
I think you just did.
He's talking about Big Mama, Miss Atlanta Lively.
He was in a gang at 8 years old.
He's talking
I've been
about. I mean,
on 18.
What kind of talking shitty about, gang? What kind of shitty gang has an 8-year-old member in it? 8-year-olds can't do anything right.
I don't know. They can be errand boys. Who knows? And he's talking about stripping Cornette naked at Starcade. Everybody wants to strip everybody, man. This is just insane. So we go to anything else, Doc, before I move on?
No.
We go to Ron Bass versus Paul Gardner. I think this is the guy that Ronnie Garvin just beat the fucking brakes off of last week. Bass wins with the claw, which I found that interesting. Doc, you got anything there?
He pinned him with claw, too, which is kind of odd.
Yeah, he did.
Back in the day, back in the world class days, people would pass out from that shit or, you know, give up.
Yeah, that's very true. Harper, you got anything from that one?
No.
Yeah, I didn't really have anything either. We go to Doc's idol up next. Let's hear from Doc's idol,
Jesus,
the one and only
Jesus is on the show,
Ric Flair.
It has been signed for Starrcade 85, the gathering for the NWA World Heavyweight Title. Nature Boy Ric Flair to defend against the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes.
You know, to stand here listening to you and your cheerleader, commentator, friend, come on over here, David Crockett. Let's do this right. When I'm out here, we need two full-time commentators because I'm not like every other Tom, Dick, and Harry that walks on your program. I'm wearing this, you understand? And this costs more than the car you're driving in, brother. That's the World Heavyweight Championship belt. And I'm Ric Flair, and y'all know it. And I know in the past couple weeks, because I haven't been here, this program's ratings have gone down. Well, Ted, don't worry. I'm not Bobby Horner. Huh? I'm Ric Flair. And when you want me to bring your program up, I'm here to do it. Now, Dusty Rhodes, woo, they tell me that Dusty Rhodes has proclaimed himself totally recovered and ready to take the World Heavyweight Championship. And I'm aware of the fact that this is on, David. I'm glad that people are having an opportunity to see firsthand why Ric Flair and Ole and Arn Anderson are the three greatest wrestlers alive today. Now,
no.
Let's get back to what's going on. Watch this. The figure four, I'm the man. Whether you people like it or not, I'm the man that put Dusty Rhodes in a knee-high cast, sent him home to his family, wondering if he'd ever wrestle again. You know, there's a lot of you fat, pot-bellied guys sitting in your chair right now that don't like me because I represent what a real man is. And you tell your old lady sitting next to you not to watch me because you don't like what's happening in big-time athletics. I'm a winner, not a loser. And if you walk down that aisle, woo, and get in the ring with me, you pay the price. So Starrcade, the gathering, Dusty Rhodes, cut and dried. If you think you're man enough to jump on this,
And you whisper in David Crockett's ear, you whisper in Jim Crockett's ear, I'm not done, don't roll me up. Because you see, there's two big guys walking on this TV station today called the Road Warriors. They come out of that reject AWA trying to get back in the major leagues. If you sign with Dusty Rhodes, and if I catch you in Philadelphia or Miami or anywhere else, me and the Andersons will show you why the AWA and Dusty Rhodes, whoo, are not what's happening in professional wrestling. Woo!
Woo! That's the World Heavyweight Champion, Nature Boy Ric Flair. We'll be right back.
God damn, Ric Flair's good, man.
Yeah.
I mean, even when he damn. Fouls off a pitch, even when he fouls off a pitch, he hits a double, if that makes sense.
Well,
that,
yeah, it does.
Because that's not his best, but it's still better than everybody else.
Well, he said so much stuff there. Obviously, he's addressing Dusty and talking about what's going on there. They show a clip of when they broke Dusty's leg in the cage in the Omni back in September of that year, which, you know, started this whole thing where now they're going to be at Starrcade doing battle. But, like, the thing there is, man, Rick, he did – there was one thing he did that fucking shows you what kind of stroke he has. He got a time cue that says wrap up. I don't know if you caught it, and he mentions it. He goes, don't you tell me – like, he kind of subtly was like, I'm not done yet. So I think he was, like, signaling whoever was giving him that cue, screw that, I got to get some more shit in, which I thought was great. Flair can pull that off.
Cordy did that in Smoky Mountain not too long ago.
Yeah.
He did. He sure did. He's like, don't try to wrap me up. And then the other thing Flair did there that was cool, or that I just loved, even looking at it, you know, 30 years ago at this point, he's like, we got these Road Warriors later on coming back in from that reject AWA. I was like, ooh, because even if that's not real, even if he's just, you know, doing it just to drum up shit, for that split second, you're like, oh, does he mean that?
Oh, shit, yeah.
You know, he's fucking with another organization here. So, I don't know, I really liked all that, man. Harper, I'll throw it to you in case I missed anything.
Yeah. Yeah, once Go again, Rick Flair shows you how it's fucking done, bro. It's just, and then when he shits on the AWA, that just fucking adds to it.
When him bringing the AWA into it really set it off.
Yeah.
Like because then he starts talking about the Warriors, the Road Warriors. I thought that was real good. We then go from the Ric Flair promo to the Starrcade update. It's Tony and David reminding us that the Starrcade lineup or what the Starrcade lineup is. David Crockett did say one thing I like. He said every match on Starrcade 85 card serves a purpose, and we will get to the Starrcade card next week. I'm not about to list every single match. I will do it on the Go Home Starrcade show, which will be on next week's episode. We then have a match with the Barbarian versus George South. Barbarian with a flying headbutt off the top, and he gets the 1-2-3. Harper, did you have anything from the Barbarian and George South match that you wanted to talk about?
Nope.
Doc, what about you? Barbarian and George South, you got anything?
I'm good.
Okay, and Doc is on the moon at this point. He is having trouble in his home studio right now. So whenever you want to make fun of me and who runs the show, yeah, I'll just plug at him because he is on the fucking moon today. Sounding like Ric Flair's whole show. He's trying to be like his idol, Ric Flair. There you go. We got a big match. Woo! Hey Doc, you know what I think about your fucking pitiful Skype signal?
Catch me outside. How about that?
if you play that again, I'm hanging up.
Do it.
Catch me outside. How about that?
I'm not going to call. He's frustrated. It's going to be me and you until he decides to text me back. So we go to Ric Flair, Ole and Arn Anderson versus Terry Taylor, Pez Watley, and Ronnie Garvin. He's about to go bitch his wife out right now. This is a long-ass match. You see a glimpse in this six-man match. You caught it. You caught that too, huh, Harper, how long it was. You really see a glimpse here in this six-man match of what made many of the guys in this match so great. We get Ric Flair selling his ass off. You got Ronnie Garvin nailing Ric with a headbutt. Ric takes the face bump. Ole gets shit for not selling, but I felt like he was selling Flair's chops. Just selling in general for the guys he's working with. You got Flair's chops in the studio really sounding off in that small ceiling. You know what I mean, Harper?
Yeah. Yes.
It's like a, I mean, like a firecracker. I mean, crazy. You know, Flair assists Arn with the pin when Flair holds Pez Watley's feet down, and the Andersons and Flair get the win. Harper, do you have anything from this matchup that you wanted to go through here?
It's just, bro, they showed how great it once was. I mean, I was just watching Flair and Rugger Ronnie Garvin go at it. I'm like, man, what the fuck?
Yeah, DeLorean, you had a time machine. Yeah. You had a time machine moment.
With those fucking chops going back and forth, and he fucking gives him that fucking kind of, like, I don't know, the kind of jumping headbutt to respond to it. And then he does the face bump. It's just like, and that crowd is just going crazy.
Yeah, I mean, there can't be, what you think is in there, 75 people in that crowd?
Yeah, about that.
And they're going nuts. 100.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's Garvin's hitting them with that jump headbutt, and Rick is selling the piss out of it. I mean, it's just oh man, oh she's crazy. it's
there no more.
No, it's not. Okay, we go from now the Ric Flair, Ole, and Arn Anderson versus Terry Taylor, Pez Watley, Ronnie Garvin matchup where Flair holds, you know, like I said, Pez's feet down, and Anderson and Flair get the win. Doc's back. He joined us again. He's having terrible connection issues tonight, and he's mad at me because I keep playing the Cash Me Outside. How about that soundbite? We go to then an interview with Tully Blanchard here, and Tully's got some things to say about his upcoming match with who's he fighting again? Magnum TA. So here it is.
Yeah.
And that is how they won that match. Here's the U.S. Heavyweight Champion, Tully Blanchard. Baby Doll is perfect 10.
In the record book, let me ask you and David Crockett, Tony Schiavone, with that record book, it goes Flair, Anderson's 1, and the other 3, 0. Right? That's the way it goes in the record book, okay? Thank you. Now, United States Heavyweight Championship. A lot of controversy about how the contracts were signed. Magnum TA, it's you and me. It's all over but the crying. I hope you're training in that gym, because I am. Magnum TA Thanksgiving night. Starcade 85, the gathering. It's going to be the night that this goes on the line. I quit match, first time ever. First time ever. Millions and millions of people across the world are going to have that microphone stuck in your mouth, the heartthrob of America, and you're going to go, no more, Master Tully. No more. This is the last one. I quit. I'll never bother you again. And that's the way it's going to be. It's going to come out of your mouth. Underneath that pretty little mustache you like to groom every morning. And you're going to say, I quit. And then I'm going to let Baby Doll slap you in the face for the indecency and the indignity that you put on her on national television. Because you know Magnum TA, it's a horrible, horrible thing to have to force yourself. And I mean force yourself on the most beautiful thing on two legs in all of the world, and that's Baby Doll. That's why she comes out here on national television with the United States Heavyweight Champion, Tully Blanchard. Not Magnum TA on some motorcycle hopped up riding down the road. I heard your motorcycle even has rust all over it, Magnum. If you're such a high-dealing roller-doller like you think you are, you should at least have a high-dollar chrome on the darn thing that won't rust. So when you drive up and down Virginia Beach, it won't happen off. But, you know, I was in Virginia Beach the other day because I wanted to find out really where you came from, your roots. I went to the gym where you grew up. And, you know, they gave me a little secret, Magnum. You got your number, Starcade 85.
We're coming right back with the Legion of Doom. Don't go away.
Harper, what do you think, man? You enjoy that one?
Yeah. I love when he said the whole master thing. God, you couldn't say that shit now.
No, man. You get in trouble.
I thought he was going to make some comment about crashing that motorcycle and be some kind of foreshadowing. I'm kind of glad he didn't.
Yeah. I did catch that. And that was like really strange when you think about it. Because once you know what actually ends up happening to him, which obviously he didn't crash a motorcycle, it was his car. But have you ever seen the pictures of his car?
Yes.
The aftermath?
Yes.
No.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's amazing they peeled living human out of there. That shit was in PWI too, man, and it was like, holy fuck.
It's amazing that he is alive. I mean, you look at that car and you're like, how does a human being survive that and not be in two different and not be in pieces?
Well, he was in an iron lung and then was paralyzed. So that's how that worked.
But still, I mean, even then, shit. All right, we go to the next segment, which is a Dusty Rhodes interview. So this is the first time that Dusty and Flair are in the studio, say, together. So this is the first time. I mean, obviously they were in the studio together, but this is the first time they've appeared on the same show in the 3 weeks that we've been doing this. So let's hear what Dusty has to say.
Ashley. Well, all over the world, the letters pour in. Glad to see this man back last week, and let's bring him in once again, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes.
You know, we see some of the most exciting times in professional wrestling of this country. Ric Flair, when I was laid up night and day, day and night, every minute, I thought about you. I watched Faith. I watched tapes. I watched everything that you did. And then I say, why am I doing this? Because I got your number anyway.
That's right.
And I got your color too.
That's right.
And that color's yellow.
Yeah.
And that yellow streak runs down your back and continues on down your cousin's back.
That's right.
I'll be laying out here, be laying right by that ring, right there as a cripple jack, when you come out and stole my belt, Iron Anderson. Right. Now you're running around saying you got something that belonged to me. Your time is coming. I mean, right away.
Right.
Nature Boy Ric Flair, Starrcade 85, The Gathering. I want you to pretend that I ain't going to be there.
That's right.
I want you to pretend that the American Dream ain't going to kick your booty.
That's right.
I want you to pretend that I ain't going to take all the money that night, Jack.
That's right.
Pretend that. But most of all, pretend this. I'm going to break your leg live and in color, Jack.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to put you in my limo. I'm going to send you home to your mama and let you live for about 6 months because I know you ain't got enough money to last you 2 weeks, Jack.
Yeah.
So the American Dream lives live and in color at Starrcade 85. The Gathering, Nature Boy Ric Flair. Gather all you got because we know what kind of good check you got. And it's a yellow streak running as long as the Nile River.
That's the one and only Dusty Rhodes. Let's go to the ring.
Doc, you got any comments about Dusty Rhodes there calling you idol yellow?
Why is he shooting, man? He's talking about Ric Flair's finances like he knows something.
Yeah, in hindsight, so yeah, we know Rick kind of had some money issues down the road, but yeah.
I bet you say down the road, I bet they were much the same in 1985 as they were at any other point.
He was having fun. Dusty's funny, man. When Dusty gets into it in a promo, he's funny. But you can see why he was the common man and the working man, and everybody would buy into him at that point in time. Harper, what'd you have from it?
It just showed why he's fucking Dusty Rhodes. And there's no one else like him, man.
Yeah, he did some talking. So let's go to the next match. This is the one Harper's been wanting to talk about all night as we're doing this week's show. We got the Road Warriors. The Road Warriors come in, and Harper, let me just say this before you jump in. Those sons of bitches ain't waiting for the bell. They just start whooping some ass. Did you?
Man, they used
go ahead.
They used to come down to Black Sabbath, and they would beat the shit out of people before the music ever stopped, too. That shit, that brought back so many memories. I'm not a huge Road Warrior fan. I think they outlived their usefulness very early in their careers, but at this point, they were still in that useful period, and Jesus Christ.
Well, here's the thing, real quick. So Tony Schiavone throws us to the ring, and I will play this and try to talk over it. Well, you'll hear it. You'll hear the guys taking bumps. So here's the Road Warriors entrance. Just listen to it.
That's the one and only Dusty Rhodes. Let's go to the ring.
All right, music hits. Bro, they're in there beating ass, and that music's playing.
Yeah.
The Road Warriors.
I mean, they didn't wait. They did not wait. They're like, fuck this.
That music sounds like somebody would record a voiceover of, like, a boat show or a gun show or a guitar show or just awful.
But, yeah.
But
I don't know how
I'm
much
worried
those guys got paid, bro, but they didn't. It sure the fuck wasn't worth it.
Well,
did you see when one of the Jeffers tagged in the other one? And yeah. Hawk was like, man, fuck this. I'm not waiting for you to come in the ring. And he just grabs the guy and flips his ass in the ring. It's like, holy shit. And Harper, those dudes ain't small. Those Jeffers guys, they're not small. They got decent bills to them. And then Hawk and Animal just like beating the shit out of them.
Those are the two guys that fought the Rock and Roll Express last week, right?
Yeah.
I think so, yes. They're in there mixing it up with the Road Warriors, and Road Warriors ain't having – they're pounding on them. Pounding on them.
So let me ask you two guys who've worked in – because this is obviously, as we all know, obviously the 80s. And Minnis, you worked in the 90s, and Harper, you've been keeping it real in the 2000s. Do guys still get their asses beat like that today or back?
Oh. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know about now. I know back in the 90s they did.
Bruh, if you did something like that now.
I mean, not.
I mean, they wouldn't even fucking let you work anymore. In a fucking promotion.
I mean, I might have to take Harper's word. I've not been around.
I'm talking about two teams that get out there and beat the piss out of each other. I'm talking about just. I'm not talking about a squash. Mixed up with Garvin. Couple of weeks ago, we're seeing it in different places where there's borderline disregard for the other man's safety.
Right. They gave zero fucks.
You were breaking up a lot right there. I mean, I can tell you back in the day that I've seen plenty of veterans get a rookie in there and just commence to beating that fucking ass. Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm sure it still happens to some extent. You get some hotshot motherfucker who thinks he's, you know, God's gift to the wrestling world and doesn't have a pot to piss in or a window to throw out of in the business. And
I know people like that.
Yeah. Yes. We both know people like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No names being disclosed here, but yes. So I'm sure you have instances where that happened. For everybody that's trying to understand what Doc's saying, he was breaking up a lot. He's got a terrible connection tonight, so my apologies on the audio for this episode in advance. But I'm sure it happens to some extent. But to Harper's point, Harper, what did you say? You want to know how much you're getting paid?
Yeah, bro, they ain't getting paid enough for that shit. Fuck that.
Ask Teddy Long next time you see him.
Alright.
How much the jobber guys got paid? No. Yeah, they took an ass whipping. Now, I gotta give you credit though. I gotta give those two guys credit, man. They took it. They took every bit of it.
And
didn't look like they complained much at all.
Fuck.
Yeah. Shit. Obviously the Road Warriors get the win. Alright, we'll go to the next interview. We got Ole and Arn and Ric Flair is back. So let's see what the Andersons have to say, along with Ric Flair as well.
Go off and say, hey guys, we can do better. We are back on World Championship Wrestling, and here are the Minnesota Wrecking Crew members, Ole and Arn Anderson, the World Heavyweight Champion, Nature Boy Ric Flair.
And everybody talks about how bad the Andersons are, and I know Dusty Rhodes. I know how just anxious you are to get a hold of Ric Flair. You want that World Heavyweight title. You also want that World TV title. And I know you and the Road Warriors have got something cooking, otherwise they wouldn't be down here. Flair's exactly right. There's no place for people like you, the Road Warriors, or anybody else. We're the ones that are going to run this joint, whether you like it or you don't like it. And if you don't like it, then you better come and take up the issue with us. Don't stand out here with that 50-cent jacket you got on, looking like a hayseed farmer, and tell everybody how tough you are. The time to show it is when you get in the ring. And the belts on us show that we're the best there is in professional wrestling.
Right. Tony Giovanni. How much cross-pollination do you think it took to get a family like this all together? Just answer me that. And Dusty Rhodes, don't do like all these guys out here. Don't stand back across the parking lot and say, you got something belongs to me. Step up for one time in your life and be a man and just come take it, okay?
You know, when you stand in a showroom and you're sitting in a showroom that's full of Mercedes-Benz and Rolls-Royces, you look real good if you're an automobile. If you're a man and you're a wrestler, you look the best of them all if you're standing with the Andersons and Ric Flair. Can you see? A lot of guys walk around this great sport, tell everybody what they're going to do. You're looking at three guys that have in their hands proof of what the pudding is, Daddy. And that's, we're the best. And don't try to cut me off. Dusty Rhodes, You call me yellow, I'll mop the floor up with you when I get you at Starcade. Woo!
Boy, fucking Ric Flair's good, man. Actually, all three of them, hell. They're all on it. Harper, what'd you think about it? Anything outstanding other than the fact that they called Dusty a hayseed farmer with his little $5 jacket on?
That's just it's just pure fucking greatness.
Yeah.
yeah, it's just and I love fucking Orange Line where don't be like these other losers and stand across the parking lot.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, he's on it. Yep. Yeah, they're on it, man. They are on it. It's just some good TV in the studio back then. Doc, if you're still there, man, what you think?
Well, I mean, this is a great episode because you've got Dusty and Rick going back and forth a couple of different times, and it's just the best two talkers perhaps in the history of the business getting ready for one of the iconic matches. What do you want?
Yeah, you do. It just, and we'll reinforce what we've been saying. God, these old Saturday night shows, you're not tuning in for the matches. You're tuning in to see these motherfuckers just talk shit to each other. I mean, it's like you're on a schoolyard when we were kids, and you're just talking noise to somebody. And it's just talking noise and yapping back and forth. It's just like rib after rib after rib, except they're cutting promos and they're adults. And they're steadily just talking people in the building. Because the whole purpose behind all of this is your ass needs to either go watch this shit on closed circuit or you need to get your ass to the Omni and buy you a ticket to see Starrcade 85. One of those two. And if you don't, if you're not in an area where you can get it a closed circuit and you're not near the Omni or I think the other site was Greensboro, too fucking bad. But that's the only way you're going to see it. There it is. So they're trying to talk people into the building, trying to get them in there. And this was just some good shit back then. The next matchup is Tully Blanchard versus Jimmy Blacklin. Tully Blanchard gets the victory with the slingshot suplex, if there was any doubt. Of course, I don't think there was any doubt. Harper, did you have anything from that match?
No.
Yeah, no. Me either. Doc, anything else from that matchup?
Just that when he gets to Smoky Mountain, think about how much Jimmy Del Rey has filled out from here, where he is pretty skinny and pale, and he's grown up and become a real man by then.
Complete metamorphosis. He looks like a different person altogether. You wouldn't even recognize him. There's another guy. Hell, I'll just say it because we've already covered it in Smoky Mountain. We're going to see Carl Stiles soon from Smoky Mountain in one of these episodes, and you'll be like, that's Carl Stiles? You won't even recognize him. It took me a triple take for me to think, wait, that actually is Carl Stiles. So, yeah. We go to the next promo, and I'm gonna play this one because we haven't heard from them yet. Now, if you remember, Rick said, we got the Road Warriors in from that knockoff AWA. So, we got the Warriors here, and they are going to cut a promo. And, bruh, if you don't remember, the Warriors could cut a hell of a promo, so here we go.
I need not introduce the Legion of Doom, Hawk and Animal, the Road Warriors, but we notice that precious Paul Ellering's not with you. Where's Paul Ellering today?
Hey, Paul Ellering is doing his Ebenezer Scrooge routine back in Chicago, counting our money. Now we got some things at hand here. People gotta deal with the Road Warriors.
That's right.
I'll tell you who's going to deal with the Road Warriors. Ole Anderson, Arn Anderson, Ric Flair.
Yeah.
We don't have no more respect for you.
Right.
We used to.
Right.
But we don't care anymore, Ric Flair. There's a big man here named Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, don't get us wrong. We ain't got no friends. And we ain't planning on starting to have any.
That's right.
But I'll tell you, he asked us. And he's a man from the streets like us, Dusty Rhodes is. And that's why we can relate. And I'm telling you, Flair Anderson, Philadelphia's going to be the last town you'll ever see.
That's right.
That's right, I think it is Philadelphia, like my brother Hawk said. The only reason, Rhodes, why we're helping you out is because you know what the street's all about. And we're from the street, too. Ever since we were little kids, we've gotten beaten up before. We've done a lot more beating up.
Now let me say one more thing. Nikita Koloff, you say you're the strongest man in professional wrestling. Where were you for the 2 years we were national champs? Where were you, Koloff? You are nowhere. You're bigger than stick in Moscow. Everybody around here knows I am the strongest man in professional wrestling.
That's right.
And my brother Hawk is the strongest man. Nobody beats the Warrior.
Hey, you tell them Russians I got a new name for them. The Baldies. Anytime you think you're man enough, they come on.
That's right.
Let's go to the ring.
I don't know who the hell they're talking to or what they're talking about, but Jesus goddamn Christ, I know whoever they're talking about. Well, I know who they're talking about. They about to whip some ass. They ain't scared of nobody. And those bitches scared the piss out of me when I was a kid. Harper, go ahead.
Yeah, they were probably two of the most believable wrestlers ever.
Yes.
Of those guys that could just beat the living shit out of anybody.
Yes.
And not even break a fucking sweat.
Yeah. The believability there was just incredible. Doc, what did you have from that?
One thing I didn't like was that he kept saying that they don't really like Dusty, but they're going to help him out because they're all from the streets together.
Yeah.
And people in the streets kill other people in the streets every day. Fuck it. I like the Road Warriors better when they ain't got no friends.
Yeah, I think that's 42-year-old Doc just kind of overanalyzing it. They were out for some blood, man. Oh, shit. I don't know if there was a more believable team. I mean, obviously, you know, we're big rock and roll fans, but god damn, man, Hawk is so intense in those promos.
Yeah.
Wow. We go to the next match. It is Magnum TA versus Joe Malcolm. And, you know, I debated on if I was gonna play this or not, but I want to play it because, well, just listen to David Crockett. This match lasts like 27 seconds from bell to bell.
Magnum don't get paid by the second, that's for sure.
Here it is.
Was the Legion of Doom in the ring now? Magnum TA. Watch him. Here he goes. He drops down. Good drop kick. Now here goes into the ropes again. Belly to belly. You know it is. Has him now. Hooks the leg. Has the pin. And your winner, America's heartthrob, Magnum TA.
There he goes. Sleets him off. Look at him. Look at him. I hate when he says that. There he goes. Shoots him off. Look at him. America's heart drive, Magnum TA. Shoots him off. Belly to belly. Okay. 27 seconds bell to bell, though, on that one. You got anything, Harper, from that?
No.
Doc, what about you?
No.
I think you said it. He gets paid by the hour. The next segment is actually a pretty awesome one because, you know, we've been doing the Smoky Mountains stuff, and in the Smoky Mountain discussions that we have, we talk about Tim Horner and how he's in this I Quit feud right now, and he's, you know, basically cutting these promos that are terrible. Well, Magnum cuts an I Quit match type promo because he's about to be in an I Quit match with none other than Tully Blanchard. So let's hear Tim Horner, if you're out there. Mike Skills, Tim. I know you always listen to our show. Listen to Magnum cut an I Quit promo.
Pretty soon they'll climb into the ring, and one will say, I quit for that U.S. heavyweight title. Here's a man who wants to get his title back, Magnum T.A.
Well, I want more than anything in this world. Tully Blanchard, you say you've got me all figured out. You've gone back in my past. You found out some secret. Well, there's no secret to an I Quit match. It comes down to this. Both men are in tremendous shape. Both men know a lot about wrestling. Both men are tremendous fighters. But only one man has got the biggest heart in that square circle. Only one man wants it more than the other man. And only one man will walk out there clear-cut victor, because the other man will have gotten on that microphone and say before the whole wrestling world, I quit. I don't want any more. And Tully Blanchard, let me assure you this. You will be the man to say I quit. You will be the man to go down, because the people know who the rightful United States heavyweight champion is. And Magnum T.A. is coming to prove that once and for all right there in Starcade.
Magnum T.A. and we'll be back right after this.
That's how you cut an I quit match promo, Harper.
Yes.
None of that. A winner never quits, and a quitter never wins, and I quit's not in my vocabulary. I don't never say I quit. I don't even know those words. Jesus Christ. Oh, fuck me. Anyway, well, Doc,
this is a non-title match. This is a non-title match, but if I win the title match, I get a title match, so I want that title match.
There you go. And that wasn't this. This was 1 minute long, Magnum communicating exactly what's going to happen in an I Quit match, and it was very good. Next is an interview with Paul Jones and a Barbarian. I'm not going to play it. I really don't have much here, so I'll skip over it. We go to the next match, and I don't think Harper saw this. I know Doc did.
No.
It is you didn't see this one, did you?
I kind of
wish you did. So Ivan Koloff and Nikita Koloff are fighting against Rocky King and Adrian Bivens. I don't know who Adrian Bivens is, but the guy looks like he's had one day of training in the ring, and that's it. His outfit is just stupid. The other thing is he's got a black singlet on, and his boots are like black cowboy boot type wrestling boots, but something looks weird with him. There's a couple of things that told me this guy had no clue. One was Nikita went to slam him at one point. He doesn't post or nothing, so Nikita just muscles him up. Like
he sandbags him.
Yes, sandbag the fuck out of him. The second thing was, and I'm not trying to sound like Harper and I are these you know, 40-year veterans who are great, you know, 5-star athletes and can work a match with anyone. My point is, Nikita just muscles him up. Bivens doesn't help him at all. The next thing was, two different times, Irish whips Bivens into the ropes. Ivan hits him. And the guy just runs into Ivan like a clueless bum. Like, he just runs into him. It's the stupidest looking thing I've seen. I don't think he knew how to take a bump. This guy obviously did not know what he was doing. Doc, I know you're cutting out a lot tonight, but did you catch that, any of that?
No, not really. You know, I'm just glad you're here to provide expert commentary.
Oh, he's wanting to be the asshole.
That's
okay.
Nice.
That is nice. All right, we're going to close things out with this week's episode of Saturday Night. We got a Ric Flair, Ole, and Arn interview coming up, and this is the last interview of the show. Yes, the Andersons and Ric Flair are back.
Now let's bring in once again the man, the world heavyweight champion. It's your boy, Ric Flair.
You know, as great as I am, it's a little hard when there aren't too many telephone booths around for myself to get ready to come out here, woo, and style and profile,
yeah, baby,
for the world today.
You
see, this is the world heavyweight champion. Just like this, one moment, the greatest athlete alive. Just like this, the second moment, a refined business executive. And you know what? When you're the world champion, you always hang out with the elite people in the greatest sport in the world. I'm talking about professional wrestling. You look at the great Tully Blanchard, the United States Heavyweight Champion, right here.
There they are.
My own family, the National Tag Team Champions, Ole and Arn Anderson, and the new World's, and I mean World's Television Champion, the great Arn Anderson. And Tony, you gotta know that, brother, you're standing right here in some tall cotton, if you know what I mean, right, Ole?
Some of the best in the world, right?
Not some of the best. You're talking about the best. Everybody else looks at the Andersons, they look at Flair, they look at Blanchard, and when they try to figure out a game plan, or when they want to figure out how they want to be the rest of their life, that's the people that they look at. We're the people that they look at. We've got more pictures in wrestling rooms, locker rooms, than any place else or anybody else in the whole world. That's because we're the best. We've got the belts to prove it. We've always done a lot of talking. We've always done a lot of bragging. But like we said years ago, I guess, it's difficult to be modest when you're so great. And we are great. We are the best.
Lord, how it's hard to be humble. Woo. You know, you're looking at the real positive attraction guys right here. I mean, girls, is there anything like it? I know all you women out there in Columbus know how refined Ole Anderson can be, huh? Woo! You remember how he used to terrorize the great state of Georgia?
Hey, here, there is Dusty Rhodes, Magnum TA.
They're crying, Tom.
Come to the
calling Flair. They're calling Ric Flair. David. But there's four of these guys here.
Hey, wait a minute.
There's four of these guys on the floor here. It's easy for them to talk.
Dusty Magnus say, hey, come on, you guys. We don't care if they're four. Come on, Natty. Flair's taking his clip. Flair's taking off. They're getting in the ring. All four of them. All four, man. Holy Iron. Come on, Warriors.
Has got something in that boot. Who knows what the Road Warriors got on? We're talking about Rhodes. We're talking about Magnum T.H.
Yeah, it went off air basically with Dusty and Tully. I'm sorry, Dusty and Magnum in the ring, and the Road Warriors came out to assist them. So, hey, they go off the air hot. We still got two more weeks before Starrcade 85, The Gathering. Anyway, I thought that was a good episode. Harper, I gave that one a... I'm going to give it an A- this time, so I'm still in the A's. What would you rank the episode overall?
I'll give it an A. I mean, you had Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair, man. That's, yeah. You know.
That's true. That's true. Doc, what kind of rating you giving it?
I'm going to give it an A. It would get an A-, but they had so much Dusty and Flair and Anderson's that
yeah.
A.
Yeah. The Horseman, I think Doc was watching this. The day he was watching it from home, he sent me a text message and said, "The Horsemen are gods." And I must say, that just was some good shit back then. It just really was. It's like what we say every week. All right, so we want to hear what you think about the episode. Which promo did you like? Which one was your favorite on this week's episode? What did you think about the episode overall? Would you rate it an A just like we did? We had plenty there. We're still leading up to Starrcade. It's really kicking off. You know, it's like Harper said last week, we need a fucking DeLorean. We really do. Where's the DeLorean at? We want to go back in time. With that said, I want to thank all of our patron members that, you know, if you're a patron member, you get exclusive BTT content and are qualified to be in our raffle to cut a promo on Doc Turner. So I want to say thanks to Josh, Jeff, Adam, William, Dan V, Dan N, Jason, David, Wayne G, Twit Dust, Matt Kovacs, Armando, Cedric, Boonhauer, Marty. We got another Jason S and Steve as well. Thanks for being patrons. Look. We do 8 free shows monthly. Consider becoming a patron of ours. The plans start as low as $2 a month. While the flagship shows are free and will always be free, being a patron is a great way to show some love to the show. You know, we got a few patron-only episodes out there as far as the Dallas Cowboys Ring Rat House. There's also one up right now with Doc Turner in his Rooms to Go saga. I guarantee you both of them are gut-busting laughter. We also cut another one called Church and Religion this past week. I just have to put it together and get it out there. You can become a patron. Just go to tinyurl.com/BTTPatron and sign up, please. Like I said, start as low as $2 a month. You'll enter in whenever you're at that amount to, you know, getting a Book in the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast t-shirt. So, yeah, please help us out and consider becoming a patron member. Doc, did I cut you off or something there before I went into the patron plug?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Harper, what about you, man? Did you have anything else from the episode, or did I cut you off?
No. I'm sitting here watching the Russians with that guy. Yeah. Dude, this guy didn't know what the fuck he was doing.
Oh, you're watching it right now? I told you.
Yeah.
He's clueless. He doesn't have a clue. I mean, it doesn't even look like he's been to one day of bump training.
Yeah, because he bunches up. Like,
yes.
He doesn't want to get hit, and then it seems like at the end they're frustrated because he starts dropping elbows on them like after the match.
I mean, Ivan is shooting him off, and he's hitting the ropes, and instead of, like, you know, coming in, getting hit, taking the bump, he just runs, like, and he kind of leans forward and just, like, collides into him and then just falls down to the ground like a fucking turd. It's pathetic. It's just horrible. Okay, so going into the next segment of the show, we got the PWI Top 10 from May of 1994. Yeah, I fast-forwarded things this week. We did an old one last week. We got PWI Top 10 from May of 1994. The rankings in this PWI are through January the 17th of 1994. So, Doc, the reason I picked this is because it may take a couple of weeks for us to get through all these, but like this PWI has not only WCW and WWF top 10s, it's got Global, it's got USWA, it's got Smoky Mountain, and it's got ECW in it. Doc, didn't you say you had watched a couple of the early episodes of ECW from, was it 94 or earlier?
I'm at episode 7.
Okay.
Early ECW was complete garbage and trash.
Okay. What year are you in then, if it's episode 7?
I believe it's real early 93.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, that's real early.
Sandman, yeah. Sandman is still doing the surfer gimmick, and his wife Peaches is with him. And there's just a bunch of dudes in there. Eddie Gilbert and Funk are really carrying things. Paulie just showed up. And Paulie's faction is Hot Stuff International with Gilbert, Don Morocco, and Jimmy Snuka.
Damn.
That is
really, really early ECW, yeah. So this is the ECW.
And if you think some of the broke down Smoky Mountain are bad, you ought to see what's going on there. Because let me just say this. They don't have Bob Caudle and Dutch Mantel working the shows either.
Yeah, I can agree. Well, this is ECW in 94, so I'm not going to go through the ECW or Smoky Mountain rankings or USWA Global, but I will go through the overall top 10, and I want you all to let me know what you think. There's some names in here. The reason I chose this one is because there are some names in here that I think will – you'll be like, huh, really, at that time. Number 10 in the top 10, again, this is the May of 1994 PWI top 10. This period is ending, although it's May of 94.
Oh, hold on. Can we guess who's number one?
In sure, 94? Go ahead. I mean, you're going to get it. That's an easy one. Who is it, Doc? Go ahead. Take a guess.
I would imagine they're going to put Hogan at number one, but I was just wondering if it was maybe even Vader.
So, again, this is May of 94, and this is the time period ending January 17th of 1994. So your guess was Hogan or maybe Vader. Who would you guess, Harper?
Oh, God, 94. Is it Bret Hart?
Okay, so you're guessing Bret Hart. I can't guess because I'm staring at it. Yeah. So let's go through it. And so number 10, Doc, you'll like this one. Primetime Brian Lee, who was the current Smoky Mountain Wrestling heavyweight champion.
Mm.
Yeah. Number 9 is Dustin Rhodes. Not Dusty, but Dustin Rhodes, who at that point...
I think we know the difference.
Okay. He, at that point, Dustin was the number 4 contender for the WCW World title. We got number 8. It was Sting, who was the number 6 contender for the WCW World title. Number 7 is Steve Regal, who was the current WCW TV champion as of January the 17th of 1994. Number 6, this is the one that when I was looking at this, I go, wow, that's one that the guys will kind of pop on. Jerry Lawler was number 6 overall in the top 10. He was the current USWA champion. Jerry Lawler.
In 94.
Again, this is the time period ending for this is January the 17th of 1994, yes.
So this must be right before he was the color guy for WWE?
Man, my memory with those years is very, very I'm not good with recalling. That's what makes these top 10 so fascinating to me because I don't remember that at all. Let me tell you, this was my senior year in high school. I graduated May of 1994 from high school. I wasn't watching wrestling.
Was it your first senior year or your second one?
This, I was not watching wrestling. I was chasing ass and doing everything a high school senior would do at that time. So I don't remember any of this. Number 5 was Razor Ramon, Scott Hall, obviously, WWF Intercontinental Champion at that point in time. Harper, you said Bret Hart may have been your overall number one.
Yeah.
Well, Bret was the number four, and he was at that point the number four contender for the WWF World title. Number three was Steve Austin, who at that point was the WCW U.S. champion, United States champion. Number two was Yokozuna, who was the WWF World champion. And number one, neither one of you got it, was Ric Flair, who, as of the dating of this publication, was the WCW World champion.
Oh.
I got a feeling there were some shockers in there for you all.
Well, I have a hard time re-putting together that whole timeline with Flair and Hogan and Vader and when Hogan comes in, because I wasn't watching either.
I do, too. That's what made this top 10 so fascinating to me.
Yeah, 94 is kind of like I can't remember if I was watching or not.
I know for a fact I tuned out because this is the time frame when I know I did not watch any global, and I watched early global, maybe through 93. I don't remember global during this time period. And like I said, I was doing everything but worried about wrestling at this point in time. The global rankings are actually very, very interesting. Like when you look at the names that end up being in global. So I think I'll do that next week and we'll keep this one. But I will quickly, Doc, do you want to pass on doing the top five iconic gimmicks since you're having issues tonight? And we can bump that to next week.
I'm ready, but you got to tell me if you can hear me.
Well, you're cutting out really bad, so I don't want to get too deep into it, and then nobody can hear you what you're saying. So we need to get you all fixed up and hooked up, and then we'll do it next week. How's that sound?
Sure thing, partner.
All right. So in place of that, I will do the tag teams from 94. We got the tag teams of let's see. Number 10, Doc will like this one. The Rock and Roll Express. At that point, they were the number one contenders for the Smoky Mountain Wrestling tag team titles. Number nine was Paul Orndorff and Paul Roma, Doc.
Pretty wonderful.
Yeah. They were the number two contenders for the WCW World Tag Team titles at that time, Harper.
Damn.
Yeah, yeah. Number eight was the Bruise Brothers, who were the USWA Tag Team Champions.
Those are number
some
big boys.
Yeah, buddy, you ain't lying about that. Number seven was the Head Shrinkers.
Mm.
They were the number three contenders to the WWF World Tag Titles. Number six, and I barely remember this tag team, was Two Cold Scorpio and Marcus Bagwell, who at that point in time were the number one contenders for the WCW World Tag Team titles.
I think I remember that.
I vaguely remember that. I must have been flipping through at one point and caught them, and I do remember that. It's crazy. When I think about everything else I remember from this time period, I actually remember that over some of the other things that I'm looking at in this magazine. Number five, Doc will love this one. The number five tag team was the Heavenly Bodies, the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Tag Team Champions at that point in time.
Mm.
Yeah, number five, it's pretty high ranking for them. Number four was Rick and Scott Steiner, Steiner Brothers. They were in the WWF then. They were the number two contenders for the WWF World Tag Titles. Number three was The Kid and Marty Jannetty. They were the number one contenders for the WWF World Tag Titles. You don't like that one, Harper?
No. God.
You don't like Marty Jannetty?
Marty Jannetty. No. We'll pass. Number two, the Quebecers, WWF World Tag Team Champions at that point.
Not a fan.
Anybody have a guess on who number one was in 94? I mean, just say January 17th of 94. Yeah.
The Midnight Express?
Was it somebody with Arn Anderson?
No. It was a WCW team. I'll tell you that much. It was a WCW team.
Was it
Harlem Heat?
Super Patriots.
Was it the Super Patriots and it wasn't Harlem Heat? Neither one of those teams are even. Yeah, that's crazy. No.
Sting and Luger.
No. Y'all will never get this, so I'll just say it. It was the Nasty Boys who were the WCW World Tag Team Champions.
If there's a month where they're the best tag team in the world, then all other tag teams must have broken up.
The Nasty Boys are number one, but Rick and Scott Steiner are right up there. But other than that, the Heavenly Bodies should be higher. Yeah. Even the Bruise Brothers in USWA should be higher. And God damn, the Rock and Roll Express should have been higher. I understand they were in Smoky Mountain Wrestling, which was a small regional promotion, and they weren't in WWF or they weren't in WCW, which were national promotions. At the same time, I just got to believe those guys should be higher. The fact that Paul Roma's on this list with anyone, and never mind. So anyway, that was your PWI Top 10 from May of 1994. Doc, we will save Top 5 Iconic Gimmicks because you are having severe issues tonight. Apologies, everyone, on the audio and whatnot, but sorry about that. So the Top 5 Iconic Gimmicks, what we'll do next week is we will lead off the show with that to make up for the fact that we didn't get to it tonight due to our technical difficulties. Harper, I'll let you plug Wildcat Sports one more time before we get out of here.
This Saturday. March 18th, damn it. Scott Hall's going to be there. Some good shit.
$10, Meisler Middle School. Be there. Go see Hardbody Harper. He won't shake your hand. He's in the back. He's a heel. He doesn't come out and talk to the fans. Yeah, we know. That's good for you. You shouldn't do that. While I'm at it, and before I throw it over to Jim Cornette, talking about the South versus the North, I want to say thanks to everyone who's using our Amazon referral link. If you haven't already done so, go to tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. Whatever you purchase there, I get a little small kickback in return. It helps support the show. It's just another way you can help support the show that doesn't cost you any additional money. Also, like I said, check out my friends, the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing, Brian Malonis, the Kingpin, and Mike Crockett. They do some good stuff over there. They talk a lot about the current scene and amongst many other topics on their show. Just search the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing wherever you get your podcast from. They do two shows a week, and you'll surely enjoy it. Also, check out the 605 Super Podcast. Thanks, Brian, again, for the tinyurl.com hookup and telling me how easy it was. Oh, Doc, something I don't know if you've seen today. Now, we've spawned another Smoky Mountain Wrestling parody account. I don't know if you're aware of that. Yes. So, there's Mike Skills Tim already, and there's Fake Killer Kyle, and there's Fake Buddy Landell, and there's also King Hillbilly Ron Wright. As of today, I got a tweet from a Fake Tony Anthony. The Dirty White Boy parody is now on Twitter. So I just wanted to bring that to everyone's attention. So go follow at Fake Tony Anthony. He is getting in the mix with Fake Buddy Landell and Mike Skills Tim, and they're all jarring back and forth. Other than that, like I said, the promo from this week is Jim Cornette talking about the North versus the South. It's a quick 4-minute description of the differences, and unfortunately the end of it tells you why Vince won, because of incompetence of the people in charge down South and in corporate wrestling, which sucks. So, Harper, you got anything else before we get out of here?
Nope.
Doc, you got anything else before we get out of here?
Yeah, you missed something real big here today, and hopefully I'm not cutting out too bad. I can get this in. I just want to say congratulations to the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels, who won his first world title in his career this past week. And, boy, that's a guy that in his mid to late 40s truly deserves it.
I'm glad you mentioned that because you're right. I forgot to mention it. I did not write about that in my PW Torch write-up this week. Matter of fact, while I'm thinking about it, go to pwtorch.com and check out my hits and misses column on Ring of Honor. It was on their TV that aired, not the pay-per-view that just aired. So their TV was a little bit different this past weekend. I think some of you have Comet. You probably haven't even seen it yet, but because it doesn't air until either Wednesday or Thursday nights. But anyway, yes, Doc, I must agree. I called it. Remember, Doc? Remember when I told you? I told you a couple months back.
I thought I told you.
You lying sack of shit. I said that the Decade of Excellence tournament, he was going to win that. And not only was he going to win that, but he was going to go on to become the Ring of Honor World Champion. And I got to say, man, I agree with you. That dude very much deserved it. He's many years in his business, and he deserves that belt. And I hope he's not just a transitional champion either. I hope he gets a long run with it.
You know, he wrestled the very first main event in ROH.
Which is insane when you think about how long they've been around.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're not going to talk about Impact. Doc was not high on Impact last week. I got text the whole time Impact Wrestling was on last
week. That shit was garbage.
And Doc was not. Doc was salty Doc. Hashtag salty Doc. Hashtag BTT Army. Doc was not a happy camper during Impact. Anyway, I watched it, and it was all right. I mean, there were some good parts. They got to do something about that announced team, Doc. They got to do something about – Josh Matthews has to be gone. Never mind. I'm not even going to get started on it. Yeah, I know. And, Harper, you got anything else before we get out of here?
No, sir.
All right, bro, hit the tagline and get us out of here to the promo of the week, or the conversation of the week, I should say, with Jim Cornette talking about the difference between the North and the South and why the South ultimately bowed out to the North. So hit the tagline and get us over to Cornette, Harper.
Book it, bitch.
Salvatore M says, growing up in the Northeast, I remember the first time I saw her. Southern wrestling, and was shocked that the top baby face was a pale, obese man who thought he was black. I say that with all due respect to Dusty Rhodes. Granted, he had unreal charisma, but I also had to chalk it up to geography. With that prefaced, as a Southern, what things about wrestling?
As a Southerner, not a,
as a Southerner. Southerner.
He says as a Southern.
We read it as they write it. That's part of the fun.
Well,
what things about wrestling above the Mason-Dixon shocked you?
Well, like I said, earlier I wasn't really shocked because I was shocked when we saw that first Madison Square Garden show. I didn't realize Vince, the WWF was always big guys and always kind of the more outlandish personalities, and it was Southern wrestling was more real, was more gritty, was more passionate, was bloodier and more brawls, and whether it be Eddie Graham loving amateur wrestlers, or whether it be Vern Gagne loving ex-football players, whether it be the Crockett's having the premier workers, in-ring workers, whether it be Tennessee that was tables and chairs and hardcore before there was hardcore. These towns were smaller, they had smaller populations. They ran weekly a lot of times, definitely monthly, plus spot shows all around the area. The people had to believe. And when I looked at WWF wrestling, which later WWF wrestling, the thing about it is you couldn't really believe it. It was presented as I don't want to use the word hokey. Sometimes it was silly. The point was, it wasn't about the action. It wasn't about the heat. I mean, Bill Watts could get some heat on a fucking heel, I can tell you right now, and the people would pay until he got his ass kicked. And then the baby faces, meanwhile, were the people that fucking raised the goddamn flag on Mount Suribachi at Iwo Jima because they were vanquishing these evil people. I remember down south, it happened when Sam Bass died, it happened when Bobby Shane died, it happened a couple of times. They would make the announcement if a wrestler was killed in a plane crash or a car wreck, if he was a heel, the fucking place would pop. You would, oh, I'm serious. Not just applause. Yes, he's fucking dead. But that's what kept people coming back. The heels were the most evil, degenerate, lying, cheating sacks of shit that ever lived, and the baby faces were the only thing standing between them and fucking certain rule of wrestling, right? And the matches were worked and the angles were done and the promos were given in such a way that you could believe that this shit was going on. And sometimes there was some things a little kabuki-ish. But, you know, Jarrett always used to say, if you tell them the truth that they know to be the truth long enough, once you veer off into the work, they told me the truth about A, B, and C, so that must be true too. Whereas, you know, I mean, and with all respect to Lou Albano, he got a ton of heat in the old days. But by the 80s and 90s, when Vince Jr. took over, it was more showbiz and more cartoon. And there was no... And we're like, how the fuck do they expect to make this work? Well, the answer was he wasn't going to run any town regularly. He was going to run every town once a year. You go see the Harlem Globetrotters once a year. But after twice or three times, you're pretty well sure the Washington Generals ain't winning that fucking game. So, but you never knew Southern wrestling. So anyway, that was the difference. It's a cultural shift, and it wasn't the fact that one wrestling style, in my mind, won out over the other. It's the fact that a bunch of fucking blithering morons bought the company and took over the one wrestling style, and they couldn't compete with Vince. The wrestling style was superior. The people running the wrestling, such as TBS, where if it was raining soup, they'd be out in the Ardland Fork. So there you have it.